The engineer shrugged. "You're the boss," he muttered, but it was clear he didn't agree. "That's right," Brad thought. "I'm the boss." With a buckyball cable tied snugly under his shoulders and a high-intensity lamp clamped to his head, Brad sank slowly down the inside of the shaft. He had offered Nx the chance to go down with him, but the gamin had refused, clearly awed and fearful. Glancing up as he descended, Brad saw the narrow square of sky getting smaller and smaller. The inside of the shaft had been reamed out with a rotating scrubber, the accumulated dried mud sucked up by a vacuum attachment. The walls looked smooth, despite bits of mud still clinging to the adobe-like bricks. He flashed his lamp downward. His feet dangled in midair. The lamp's glow was swallowed in darkness. "No telling how far down this shaft goes," Brad thought. Suddenly, his communicator erupted with, "Just what do you think you're doing?" Kossoff's voice, angry, imperious. "Exploring," Brad replied. "Seeing where this shaft leads." "You get yourself back up to the surface, right now. The safety people absolutely forbid you or anybody else going down until—" "Hold it," Brad yelled. His descent abruptly stopped. Brad dangled in his makeshift harness. "Now get yourself up to safety," Kossoff demanded. But Brad said, "No. Not yet. I gave you an order." Brad laughed. His lamp was shining on what looked like a doorway cut into the shaft's smooth interior. A dozen meters farther down, the excavation stopped, and the shaft was choked with dried mud, but there was an unmistakable doorway just below Brad's dangling feet. And to one side of the shaft were clearly carved symbols, writing. The city.
"It's the find of a lifetime," Little John crowed.
The anthropologist was standing at the edge of the growing pit, staring down into the complex of stone building foundations spreading across the floor of the excavation. Brad and Nx stood alongside him as the digging machines toiled away, carefully removing more of the silt that had accumulated over the city during the past 1,000 centuries. The caterpillar-tracked bulldozers and backhoes worked almost silently, their electrical motors humming quietly. They were remotely directed by a half-dozen engineers huddled at the lip of the growing excavation. Robots and smaller remotely directed machines carefully removed the last layers of dried mud from the structures.
"The biggest discovery in the history of archaeology," Little John added, smiling delightedly. "A whole alien city."
Turning to Nx, Brad said softly, "Your ancestors built this. You should be very proud." But Nx replied,
"The Skymasters killed my ancestors. They covered the city so that we could not see it. They will be angry with you."
Brad had tried to get the gamins to come and view the excavation. Most of them had refused, although a few, including Ng, of course, had come and stared uneasily, fearfully. Brad thought that they were awed by the big digging machines. Brad tried to reassure Nx. "There's nothing to fear. The Skymasters have gone far from here. If they ever truly existed," he added silently.
"They see us," Nx replied stubbornly. "They will punish us."
"So what do we have?" Kossoff asked. Brad stood at the head of the table beside the professor. The display screens on the walls of the conference room showed views of the newly excavated city. After 6 weeks of careful digging, a good part of the long-buried city had been cleared, and Kossoff had summoned Brad back to the starship for a meeting of the department heads.
"It's a city," Brad said, pointing to an aerial view of the dig. "You can see the foundations of buildings and the rectilinear outlines of streets."
Olaf Peterson asked, "Have you discovered any artifacts from the city?" Brad knew the Scandinavian's question was strictly pro forma. He had provided that information in the reports he'd submitted. "Unfortunately, no. All that exists are the remains of the building's foundations. The buildings themselves were smashed flat."
"By the annual floods from the rivers that deposited all that silt, I should think," said Quentin Abbott.
"No," Brad said. "From the analysis that MC's done, it looks as if the buildings were destroyed before the river's flooding started burying them."
"Destroyed by what?"
Brad glanced at Kossoff, who seemed to be holding his breath, waiting for his reply. "According to the gamin's history, they were destroyed by the so-called Skymasters.
"That's poppycock," said Peterson. "Pure mythology."
"Is it?" Brad challenged.
"Their mythology showed us where to find the city, and predicted that it would be flattened." Before anyone could respond, he added, "Incidentally, there are some indications that the course of the river was altered, so that its annual flood would inundate the remains of the city."
Elizabeth Chang said mildly, "Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence."
Pointing to the displays on the walls, Brad countered, "Isn't that extraordinary enough for you? The city was destroyed, its inhabitants wiped out, and the nearby river diverted to drown the remains."
Kossoff said, "You're asking us to believe the aliens' tale of the Skymasters?
I'm asking you to accept the evidence that we've uncovered. A cataclysm took place here some 100,000 Earth years ago, maybe a bit more. The entire planetary system was disrupted. A whole civilization on planet Gamma was smashed back to the Stone Age, and beasts from planet Beta were created and given the means to travel to Gamma for the purpose of keeping the Gammans from climbing back to civilization."
Kossoff asked, "And you believe this destruction was caused by some sort of conflict? A war with another alien race? An interstellar war?"
The disbelief in his voice was palpable. Before Brad could reply, Abbott suggested, "The Skymasters may be an invention of the Gammans, an explanation they created to make sense of their history."
Little John spoke up, "Brad, do you actually believe that this planetary system was almost destroyed in an interstellar war?"
"That's a huge conclusion to swallow," Kossoff said, shaking his head. With a touch of his thumb on the projector control unit he held, Brad put up a view of the nano-devices built into the eggshell spacecraft from Beta.
"Somebody built those craft. Somebody created those nanomachine controls. Somebody created those six-legged cats and set them on the Gammans every time the two planets approach each other. Somebody with a technology significantly beyond our own."
Silence along the length of the conference table. Not even Kossoff had anything to say.
"All the available facts point to that conclusion," Brad insisted. "We're not dealing with mythology here."
Book 5.
A man said to the universe, "Sir, I exist."
"However," replied the universe, "the fact has not created in me a sense of obligation."
Stephen Crane.
2 years later.
Brad walked through the new village, empty buildings waiting for the birth of the new generation of Gammons growing beneath the ground in the farm fields.
Nx walked beside him, looking slightly ludicrous in one of the stiff cloth coveralls that the Gammons were weaving for themselves. It hung past his knees, and Nx also wore a Gammon version of a ski mask, with his two bulbous eyes bulging out on either side of his head. His hoof-like feet were still bare, although 3D printers aboard the starship were already turning out boots for the Gammons. The sky above was gray, leaden. A light snow was drifting down from the clouds.
"Winter is coming," said Nx unnecessarily.
Brad nodded. He wore a light parka, no hat.
"Yes," he agreed. "But you'll be ready for it. You'll live through the winter and welcome the new folk when they rise from the ground.
If the Skymasters permit us."
Brad turned and started back toward the original village. Nx kept pace beside him.
"Are the Skymasters real?" Brad asked.
"You saw the city," Nx replied. "You saw how it was destroyed."
"Yes, I know. But if they wanted to wipe you out, why didn't they destroy your village, too, and the other villages? Why did they let you live?"
"They send the monsters from Beta to kill us.
But not the new generation growing in the ground. Not the rememberers in each village. Why let them live?"
"No one knows. Perhaps they will return one day and reveal their purposes to us.
Perhaps not." Nx fell silent as they walked along the empty street. At last he said,
"Bird, I think that perhaps you have been sent to save us from the Skymasters."
"I want you to live," Brad said. "I want you to get through the winter and begin to build new lives for yourselves."
Casting an uneasy eye at the gray sky above them, Nx said,
"That will surely bring the Skymasters to punish us for disobeying their wishes."
"No," Brad contradicted. "You will live and grow and prosper, and we will help you. My people are producing food for you, so you can live through the winter, and...
But one day you will leave us.
Reluctantly, Brad admitted, yes.
Before the winter fully sets in.
Yes.
After you go, the Sky Masters will return and kill us all. They will leave none of us alive because we disobeyed them.
Brad stared at this alien creature whom he had come to regard as his friend. He's terrified, Brad thought. He does what we tell him to, but he's terrified that once we leave, they'll all be killed by the so-called Sky Masters.
More of my kind will arrive here after we have gone, Brad said. Then he stretched the truth by adding, they will protect you against the Sky Masters.
Unx said nothing.
Unx obviously wasn't as frightened as Unx. I believe, Brad, he said that evening as the gamins gathered inside their homes for their evening meal. Brad sat among a half dozen of the aliens, between Unx and Lung, staring into the warming blaze in the fireplace that the humans had shown the gamins how to build. The flickering flames were hypnotic, Brad felt. There's an ancient bond, he thought, between humans and their fires, a link that allowed us to survive the Ice Age back on Earth. It's bred into our genes. Fire, the energy source that assured our survival in the time of cold, the energy source that started our climb to the stars.
Ung's thoughts were much more practical. Pointing at the fireplace, he said,
the food you have given us will allow us to live through the winter. We can welcome the new folk when they rise from the ground, teach them, help them to become like us.
Ung's head drooped despondently.
If the Sky Masters allow it. The Sky Masters have gone away, Ung said. Why should they return here?
To punish us.
No, said Ung. I think they have sent Bird and his friends to help us. I think the Sky Masters want us to live, not die.
Brad marveled at his optimism. Where Ung sees death, Ung sees life, he thought.
Tell us the truth, Bird. Ung urged. The Sky Masters have sent you, haven't they?
With a shake of his head, Brad replied, no. We came here to help you. We knew nothing of the Sky Masters until you told us of them.
Ung stared at Brad for a silent moment, then jumped to his feet and shouted, Sky Masters, wherever you are, we live, and we will keep on living thanks to Brud and his people's help. If you have sent them, thanks be to you. If you have not, then we can live without you.
Unks and the other gamins sat in stunned silence. Even Brad was taken aback by Lung's declaration. He's committing blasphemy, Brad thought. Then he realized that blasphemy is often the first step up from ignorance. Instead of outrage, Unks merely said, sit down, Lung, and eat your dinner. The Sky Masters will answer you in their own time. Brad let out a breath. A very gentle response to blasphemy, he told himself. But then the gamins are a very gentle people. He sat in silence and tried not to show the shiver of revulsion he felt as the gamins shoveled their food into the mouths in their abdomens. At last he slowly climbed to his feet, surprised that he really didn't want to go. I think of them as my friends, he realized. Despite our differences, I really care about them. I must return to my own village now, he said to Minx. The gamin got up beside him.
You will come back tomorrow?
Yes, of course.
Brad got as far as the door before Lung called. If you meet any Sky Masters out in the night, tell them we would like to see them.